Well, good morning. Praise the Lord. So when we were downstairs in the prayer room before church, we were just finishing up kind of the idea of what the Lord was doing, giving him room for work in our hearts and our lives today. And the word came up about stepping in. And to me, stepping in is like the same as pressing in. And it requires our hearts to connect with the reality of who God is. Because if you remember the woman who pressed in with the issue of blood, she got in her heart the idea that he was going to be the one that was going to deliver her from that 12 years of suffering with the issue of blood. And if you remember what she did, she crawled on her hands and knees in the crowd to get to the hem of his garment. Sometimes it takes desperation to receive from the Lord. I don't know why. I wish I could just say, Lord, just bring it all. But he wants to see our hearts. Hunger. And so I just encourage you today to just let the hunger of God just to build in you. Lord, we just invite you right now, Lord, to just stimulate us, Lord, with the hunger of God. Stimulate our hearts and our minds, Lord, to go beyond, Lord, the distractions of life, to go beyond, Lord, the busyness of life, Lord, the entanglements of life, Lord, and focus on you this morning. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are at work in every life right now. Even though they may not sense it, they may not feel it, Lord, we know that you're at work in them to will and to do of your good pleasure. So, Lord, I pray that working today would be stimulated a little greater. Lord, that we would experience, Lord, a little bit more, Lord, of what you want for our lives. Lord, that no one would leave here the same. Lord, that no one would leave here unchanged, Lord, but we would be more like Jesus when we leave. We just desire that today, Lord. So we ask you to bless this service, bless our time together, bless those who are watching online, and just let our lives be filled today with the presence of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together, church.
We're here today. Sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy.
church.
You're here and I know you're moving. I'm here and I know you're moving. altar is open. If anybody wants to step in and get a little more filling, and feel like you're standing a little closer, he'll reach you right where you're at. But the altar is open for you to come and stand and pray and be prayed for.
Jesus, I know you'll fill me.
Thank you. win my battles. This is how I win my battles. This is how. This is how I win my battles. This is how I win my battles. This is how I win my battles. This is how. This is how I win my battles. This is how I win my battles. This is how I win my battles. This is how.
So in history, surrender has always been seen as a loss. But when it comes to our Savior, surrender means win. Because He wins our surrender, and we win because we've left ourselves open to Him to win our battles for us, to come and fight for us, to come and take over when we know we can't do it anymore. So win your battles with your hands raised and your voices raised, with prayers and praise, and with thanksgiving.
With my hands wide.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like
I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. You know, going on what my husband said at the beginning about the woman with the issue of blood and how she pushed through, she stepped into her destiny in Jesus. There was a lot of people around him, and she had to press in and push aside, and she had to crawl through horse dung and mule dung and nastiness. She had to press through. But I have a question for you. Don't you think Jesus knew she was going to be there? Don't you think that he already knew that her desperation was preceding her? Don't you think that he was aware of her presence without even turning around? He knew. You may have to press through some nasty stuff. You may have to step through some hard, hard things. But Jesus already knows. He already is aware that you're coming. And he's already prepared for you such an awesome destiny. How she fought her battle. Even though she was surrounded by a bunch of people that were pressing into him too, her hunger, her need, her desperation, it was echoing off of her. It was emulating off of her so loudly without even saying a word. How desperate are you? How deeply do you need him? Can you press in just a little bit harder this morning? Oh, thank you, God. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. 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 Yeah, this is how I fight. Oh, this is how I fight.
Say something to add to what Gay said about the woman, the issue of blood. When Jesus went around healing, he went to them and people were healed. But when the woman with the issue of blood went to him, she was made whole. This is what stepping out means. She stepped out in spite of fear, in spite of what the law said, in spite of all of that, and she was made whole.
I will build.
my trust in you alone, God. I declare I will put my trust in you alone. Can you say it with me? I will put my trust in you alone. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, God. We put our trust in you alone. We put our trust in you alone. Thank you, God. Let's continue in this atmosphere. Love on one another with a holy love. In Jesus' name.
Good morning, good morning. Did you make the cookies? If you guys don't know, Lexi Villalobos made cookies over there. They're incredible. I'm going to have 8 more. I had the little snowman because... All right. So... we're going to do our declarations. For those of you who maybe don't know, we have a strong belief that we have even as a small church, a part to play in our city. And so for this year, we've been declaring amazing things and partnering with our city in the spirit, just the glory of God over our city. Amen. And so if you would stand with me, we're going to do this declaration in cadence, and just believe this for the areas you live in. Even, you know, all of us, I'm fairly certain, live in the Yakima Valley, even if we don't live in Yakima per se. And so let's just do this with all of our heart on the count of 3, 1, 2, 3. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Thank you, God. Lord, I just pray, Lord, a blessing over to the Yakima Valley. God, I thank you so much that you love us. You love every person in it. You love every person that calls this place home. And I just pray, God, that we would continue to be ambassadors of heaven in this place, God, in our workplaces, in our schools, in every environment, God, that we come into, God, that we would bring the power of God and see revival take place, Lord, in our city. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Are you using this mic today? Wow, okay. Okay. So if you guys notice when you come, it's today the last day? Today's the last day, so if you want to contribute to it, you can run to the store while we're decorating today and put some more stuff in it. But we have a box or a little bag, what is it, a basket out there full of gloves. I would say mittens, but that's dating me. Gloves and other items to keep people's hands warm, hand warmers, beanies, things that will help them to stay warm in the cold. Now, this is because Eric has been working at the Union Gospel Mission, and I think you start a fire like 7 a.m., don't you, every morning, and people come and gather around to warm up, but some don't have gloves. And I know that I've made it a practice, especially in the winter when I'm taking my shower, I start thanking the Lord for a warm shower. I mean, I know it sounds kind of, you know, silly, but it's really because I'm thankful that I'm not out in the cold. I'm not in a situation where I can't take a shower. So, and these folks, they need some help. So we put together a little basket. So if you want to help, if they bring something next week, you'll take it, right? Okay. And then I want to let you know that after service today, we're going to be decorating the church. I have to tell you a little story. You saw the text that we sent last night, and Gay wrote that. I thought it was really good. And I was reading it, and she says, after church, we're going to be, and she, you know, I don't know if she was doing Siri or what, but it said, digging the holes. And I look at that, digging the holes instead of decking the halls. Can you imagine that I would have set that out with that before I checked it? What are we digging holes for? Nobody would have been here at church. Right? But anyway, after church, we are going to be able to have the, for those of you who have to have it, which I think Eric's one of the only ones that has to have it, right? Cody, when he comes. Oh, who else? Who did you point at needs to have it? Oh, Noah, you need the Seahawks too? Oh, yeah. There it is. Oh, Nancy does too. Okay, there's a few of us. But anyway, we'll have it up on the screen so you can keep track of the score. And if you just want to sit and watch it, you can. But anyone who can stay and help us with that, we'd appreciate that. And then finally, I want to thank everyone who gives. As we've said before here, we don't actually take an offering. We receive an offering as part of your worship. So we have a box up front that you can give in. We have a box in back that you can give in. But if you want to, you can give online at onelifefamilyworship.com. So thank you, everyone who gives. Thank you for your faithfulness. And praise the Lord. And let's give it up for Eric. I haven't heard him for a while.
Thank you. We don't have a slide for it today, but I'll just mention it briefly. That way you guys can have it in the back of your heads that we will be having a Christmas Eve service. So Christmas Eve's on a Saturday, Christmas Day's on a Sunday. So we actually won't be meeting Sunday morning. So enjoy your families. But Christmas Eve, we'll be having a service. 4:30 is what we decided on. We will officially make a slide next week and we'll send out a text. So, but you can put it in your calendars now. We'll be meeting here. And, you know, taking, do we do communion usually? Communion, yep, lighting candles. And so this would be, again, I know I feel like I say this every event, just because these are great moments to invite your friends and family. These are great, you know, you might have family visiting from out of town. You might have friends that are family that don't have a home church. Like, these are great moments just to bring, you know, bring them into it. It's low pressure. It's low risk, you know. We're not out here trying to grow the church off of one Christmas Eve service. And so, but nonetheless, if you have somebody who just needs a place to be Christmas Eve, please, you know, invite them. Okay. So, I wanted to give a quick update. So those of you who were here, two Sundays ago, I have a buddy named Brandon Stone. Brandon Stone and I have been friends for a few years now. He is a youth pastor down in Roseburg, Oregon. And him and I have connected over the years just through different conferences we've been at and whatnot. And he was in about 2 weeks ago, he was in a horrific car accident on his way home, I believe, to the point where he was airlifted from Roseburg to Portland and was on a breathing machine, had to be put into a medically induced coma, and essentially was dying, was going to die. When his mom called me or she had reached out to me, it was at that point where she was in desperation just to pray. We just need to pray. So I will happily say Brandon did live. Brandon has been recovering. Last Saturday, I drove down to Portland to see him, and he's breathing by himself now. At that time, he had a feeding tube in. He was opening his eyes, so I was able to like kind of talk to him. He gave me a little bit of a smile. He's been making small moves, and I'm happy to say that this week, no breathing tube. He's fully awake. He is. Yes, we can give it up for Jesus. You guys can clap. That's a good reason to praise the Lord. And it wasn't just, you know, some of you guys may have known people that have been in similar situations and so, but I never have. And so, to hear from, to hear that you know, first they were saying, oh, we're going to need Tim to, he needs to be in ICU. And then he was in ICU for just a very short time. They took him out of ICU to, oh, now he needs to get surgery to, oh, he doesn't need surgery anymore to, okay, we need to make sure, we're not sure about his brain function to see his brain actually. So God has been all over this young man. And I had the opportunity to talk to his dad while I was there. And one of the things he said, which I was just so, I was happy that he said it as well as I was just like, yeah, I'm with you. He said, we're just believing for a miracle. We're believing for God to touch his life. And if you're not with us, then I don't even want you in the room. Like, if you're not believing for a miracle for us, don't even bother coming. And I just love that, like, audacity, that belief that we're not gonna settle for anything less than our son healed. Amen. So I'll keep giving updates as we progress. I fully believe the next time I see him or the next time I get to go, whether it's through FaceTime or actually get to go visit him, I'm going to actually have a full conversation with him. But yeah, God is good. And I don't know why these things happen, but I refuse to build a theology off of a crappy circumstance. I refuse to look at my friend and say, oh, God needed this to happen because X. Now, will God use it? Yes, you and I both know that God can use anything and everything. God uses all circumstances. God uses death and families or broken relationships, financial troubles. He uses it all. However, I refuse to believe that God is so bad at strategy that he has to dig us a hole before he can get us to the place where he needs to get us. Does that make sense? And so praise the Lord. Thank you, my love. My wife is back. I love you. Like Nancy just showed a great example of what it is to do, okay to do in church. It's okay to talk in church. I don't know if you guys know this, but it's okay to actually like give an amen, give a attaboy, give a say it for the person in the back, you know, any of those. I won't be mad at you if you do that. Okay. Do you have something to say? No, you're going to the bathroom. Okay. I'm going to share a message today, and I titled this message, You Are Not Annoying God. I'm going to put it up, bud. You are not annoying God. Okay? I think sometimes as believers, we can get to a place where we maybe feel because of our personality, because of what our upbringing, because of church culture we've been around or whatever, that we are an inconvenience to the Father. And so we won't ask him the things that are the deepest desires on our heart. Okay, we've all been around a person or a child. Let's just say that. We've all been around a person or a child, whether it's our own children or somebody else's children, where they're just like nagging, like, mom, 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 right? Like, give me this, give me this, give me this. You're like, good Lord. Like, okay, I've been in those moments. If you've had kids, I'm sure one time or another in your life, you've had moments where, I think Timmy was that type of kid, right? Yeah. And so where you just like constantly, constantly, constantly. Right. And God is so good. I just want to start here. God is so good that he is not bothered by our requests. There's nothing too silly. There's nothing too outlandish. Now, obviously I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about that side of it. I'm talking about you're pursuing the Lord and you're wanting, you have desires on your heart and you're coming to the Father with your request. You're coming to the Father with your prayers. You're coming with the Father with what is on your heart. And there's not a moment where God's like, oh, this guy again, we just talked yesterday and he's asking for the thing again. Like, I got it. I got the message. No, the Lord is so good that, and such a good father, let me use that terminology. He's such a good father. Okay. That he is able and has the patience, has the ultimate patience to be able to take all of our requests. Okay. So we're going to read a scripture in Matthew 7, and this is Jesus speaking, and this is something that I'm sure many of you have read before, and I want to kind of break this down because I believe that God is wanting to remind a few people today that it's okay to ask, it's okay to seek, and it's okay to knock because you are not annoying God. Matthew 7, in the NIV, it says, starting in verse 7, it says this, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. We can literally stop at that, those first few words, ask and it will be given to you. And we could be done and go home. If you guys can get that truth in your minds, in your spirits, that God is so good, he's such a loving father, that when you come to him and you ask and he will give it to you, we will be better off. if we can understand that this is the heart of God, he wants you to ask him. He wants you to seek him. He wants you to knock. Verse 8, for everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. I want to read the first two verses in the Passion Translation. Verses 7 and 8, it says this, ask and the gift is yours. So ask and the gift is yours. Seek and you will discover. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For every persistent one will get what he asks for. Every persistent seeker will discover what he longs for. And everyone who knocks persistently will one day find an open door. Isn't God good? Isn't God so good that when we come to him, even in our persistence, even in what we may feel like, man, this, like, God, I know I've been talking to you about this for weeks or months or years, that he takes pleasure in answering his children. Your Christian life ultimately boils down to this, you pursuing God. You pursuing God. God's not lost. You don't have to find God, okay? But you are pursuing God. Your breakthrough, your desires, your destiny is on the other side of pursuing the Lord, okay? There is action to be done in your faith. It's not one and done, I get saved, and then everything just gets handed to me. When we get saved, when we say yes to Jesus, now we go on a journey where we're in pursuit of the Lord, and we're expecting him to move, and we're expecting him to show up, and we're expecting him to meet us right where we are. Okay, your breakthrough is on the other side of pursuing the Lord. What if, just imagine, what if we pursued the Lord like we did when we were pursuing a new job or career? What if we pursued the Lord like we did a new relationship? Okay, I went through 2 months, a season just recently, from August to just beginning of November, where I was unemployed. Okay, I lost my job in mid-August, and it was a bummer. Finances were really tight; they continue to be tight. But nonetheless, I every week was applying for jobs. I was pursuing. I was calling. I was going for interviews. Like, I was diligent about getting a new job, and it took me 2 months to do it. Right, I didn't let up. It wasn't like I took a week off and said, "All right, you know what? I'm going to take a break from trying to find a job." No, I was persistent because, like, I need to work. We need money. I need to find income, right? What if, as believers, every day we consistently had this mindset: if I need to be in constant pursuit of the Lord, what if we pursued him like we did a new relationship? You know, there's some married couples in the house today, and. I mean, if you could remember what it was like when you were in pursuit of your spouse, when you were in pursuit of your significant other, to the point where I know I've shared my story plenty in here of just the craziness that came over me when I met my beautiful wife, who lived all the way out in Tieton, which, if you haven't been out, it's not close. You know, and it's not necessarily, in my opinion, a pretty drive. And then when weather like this as well, it's a little bit crazy. We started dating around this time, right? We just actually celebrated 18 years of dating. Praise the Lord. So I think it's getting pretty serious, 18 years. Yeah, thank you. I think so too. And so, But we started dating around this time, and shortly after we started dating, it started snowing outside. And if you ever been out to Cowichi or Tieton, it's just not the easiest drive, especially in this weather. But because that's right, thank you for reminding me that the car I drove was an '89 Ford Escort. I was rolling. No power steering, zero. Power steering. I don't know what they were thinking in the 80s, okay, but no power steering. And before this, before I met Nancy, I was just a dumb kid and was messing around with my window wipers and broke the motor in it. And I had no wipers either. And I broke the horn somehow too. It was a mess of a car. So I'm taking this little car, this car out to why? Because my heart, I was so like passionate and in pursuit of this woman that I was willing to risk my life. I've never said that before. I'm still trying to woo her after all this time, but I was ready to risk my life for this woman. Anyways, what if we pursued the Lord like we did relationships? I just think too, God wants to remind us today that pursuing the Lord, there are no days off. There are no days off. Every day you wake up, there needs to be an ounce of pursuit to the Lord, because He never stops pursuing us. He never quits on that. Like so many of you probably know stories of people that just have lived crazy lives, and maybe they grew up in the church and left the church, or maybe they never had any church background, and then one day they find Him, right? One day they get a hold of this revelation of Jesus, and then all of a sudden now their lives have changed. That's because God never stops pursuing. So why would we ever take a day off from pursuing the Lord? How is that ever going to be beneficial for us? And what do I mean by pursuit? That means, you know, yes, there's practicalities of it. Praying, reading your Bible, those are things. But just being in the Lord's presence, taking a moment. I know people have busy lives. I get it. People have full lives. People have kids. People have careers. People have jobs and sports and all the things. I get it. There's always going to be time to pursue the Lord. I promise you, I can meet with every one of you and look at your life, anyone who would say, I don't have time to do this, and help you find time where you can pursue the Lord. And it's only going to be beneficial to you. The first point I want to say is this: a son or daughter isn't afraid to ask of their father. When you walk in sonship and walk in authority of knowing who your father is, okay, sons aren't timid to ask their father for anything. My kids, my four beautiful children, they know without a shadow of a doubt, I have permission to come and ask dad. This is something I tell my family all the time, or my wife specifically, but my family knows this as well, is that you guys are some of the only people in my life that have permission to inconvenience my life. You guys are some of the only people that have permission to come in and make me stop what I'm doing. And I say that word inconvenient. That's not a bad word, but you know what I mean. When you're doing something, and I'm the type of person where if I am in the middle of doing something, I want to finish said task, right? I want to get to the end of what I'm doing. My family is the only people that get to come in and make me stop that. That's what real sonship and daughtership look like. They get to walk in the room and say, "Hey, Dad, I want you to." Can I put makeup on you right now? That was my last night. I'm headed out right now, Liana. But Dad, I want to put makeup on. Okay, I guess we're putting makeup on right now. Okay. True sons and daughters aren't afraid. They're not timid to ask their father for anything. Now, I want to pause here for a second on father. Because I know if you're like me, and I've preached a message about this before, but if you're like me that didn't grow up with a dad, sometimes this language in church is hard to comprehend. Because you think, like, you're saying pursue a father, and real sons and daughters know how to pursue a father. But if you didn't actually grow up with that environment, then like me, when I came into the church, I was like, I don't know what that means. I don't know how to do that. Dad wasn't there. So then this is an opportunity. This is your time. If you're still in that place where you get to say, I'm going to go on a journey to discover what it means to be a son or daughter to a father. I'm going to go on a journey to understand what it looks like to be a son. That's your, this is your moment to make that decision. say, I don't know what it actually looks like to pursue a dad because dad wasn't here. Or maybe dad was there in the physical but wasn't there emotionally. So I'm going to go on this journey. And this is important because if we don't get if I wouldn't have got this down, if I would have just let, okay, you know what? I love Jesus and I can understand Holy Spirit. You know, approaching God as a father, I'll figure that out later. I believe I would have stunted then my growth in my relationship with Jesus because it's so important that we know how to interact with all three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's so important. And so if that's you, I just would encourage you to start going on that journey today and start talking to other people that can help you get further along in this process. I want to read Matthew 7:11 again. and he says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, capital F, Father, in heaven, give good gifts to those who ask him. You desiring something in your heart and asking God aren't the same thing. You desiring something in your heart, yes, does God know the desires of your heart? Absolutely. But just like my children, I may know the desires of their heart. I may know the things that they want and the things that they're passionate about and so forth. Also, I take pleasure in them expressing that to me. And same with God. He knows the desires of our hearts, but there's a pleasure in God's heart when we take a moment to then express, God, this is the desire of my heart. And I'm not just talking about things, but I'm talking about, like, I want to see my friend Brandon completely healed, right? I want to see my extended family come to know Christ. I want to see restoration happen in that relationship, or I want to see restoration happen in that married couple. Those are the desires. God takes pleasure in the asking. My second point is this: when you seek him, you're guaranteed to find him. When you seek him, you're guaranteed to find him. God. Thanks. I think of times when, how many of you guys have ever had a hard time, like hearing the Lord? A few of us. So I say that and then I think, yeah, Eric, but there's been times when I've felt like the Lord's been silent. Or I felt like I just am in a rut or I can't get there. And so I want to make sure that the caveat to this is realizing that when we seek God, it's not just none of our relationship with Jesus is microwave. So even though society wants everything to be quick and fast, and I love it, when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, none of it is going to be quick and overnight. Like there, you're still going to be discovering things about the Lord until the day when you're on your deathbed. There's still going to be things that you're like, I still don't know this about the Lord. Okay. So when you seek him, you're guaranteed to find him, but understand that this also could be a very long journey. It also could be a journey where you're like, I don't know why I don't hear God or why I'm not finding him. But recognizing that, it's so important that we never stop seeking, that we continue to be a seeker of the Lord. So Jeremiah 29:12, it says, then you will call upon me, capital M there, call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me and with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore you from captivity and gather you from all the nations and places to which I have banished you, declares the Lord. Christians, can I remind you today that we are supposed to pray? We are supposed to be people that pray. If we're not praying, who's going to pray? If it's not the church praying, if it's not the church praying for our friends, our family, our marriages, our children, our city, our state, our nation, our president, like if it's not the church, then who's going to pray? It's not, it's just, it's not anybody else's job but our own. It's not Pastor Mike's job or Pastor Gaylene's job to make sure that these things are covered in prayer. Not the intercessor's jobs. It's our job. When we said yes to Jesus, we said yes to a life of prayer. A life of prayer. Now, are there people that are going to spend more time in prayer? Absolutely. Are there people that are going to commit themselves to hours and hours of prayer a day? Absolutely. And that's amazing. But nonetheless, it's important that we understand that we are supposed to pray as believers. Communication with the Lord must be a high priority in our lives. Communication. It's just like any relationship. Again, those of you who are married, understand. It's so, you know, cliche, but it's so real that the only way your relationship is going to work with your spouse is healthy communication. The same goes with the Lord. If we're not communicating with the Lord, what type of relationship do we have? That means not only do you speak, but you let him speak. Not only do you speak, but you let him speak. Okay? And this is the part that I think many people will forget is they'll bring this laundry list of things to the Lord and they'll say, all right, God, cool. Fix all this stuff. I'll see you next Sunday. Right? And he's still faithful and good and you know, he's amazing. But I promise you, if you just stop for a second and get quiet, go into a room, shut the doors, tell your spouse, you know, hey, can you take the kids for a little bit? And I'm just going to take 15 minutes and just go sit in a room, put some soaking music on or put no music on, go drive in the car, whatever it looks like, and just sit with the Lord. Sit with the Lord. If you seek him, you're guaranteed to find him. God is not hard to find. And even in the hard times, the question that we need to shift from asking in the hard times is, why is this happening? To start asking, why? Where are you in this, God? Okay? The third and final thing I want to say is this. Knock like you mean it. Knock like you mean it. You know when you're going to somebody's house and they're expecting you? Like, God's expecting us to show up. So when you go to somebody's house, like, you don't come to the door like, I don't know if they're home or not. We just talked on the, you just, like, I don't, you know, you stop and get quiet to hear if there's any shuffling inside, right? I remember this one time, Nancy and I first lived together, and I just moved out of this, my first experience with roommates, my last experience with roommates, the worst, okay? And it was just a really unhealthy relationship. So I moved out, I moved out from that one apartment to another apartment in the same apartment complex as my friends or former friends. And it wasn't too far. And so Nancy and I are hanging out in our apartment, and we hear the door knock, and I go to the door, and it's my former roommates that I didn't really want to have anything to do with. And I see through the peephole that they're there, and I just decide in that moment, we're officially pretending like we're not here. Even though I wasn't quiet when I went to the door. It wasn't like I like shuffled and tiptoed. I like walked normally and then looked through the peephole and was like, oh, it's them. Nope. And Nancy's like, they heard you. I'm like, stop. She says, you know, and I'm sure they're hearing all this. And then we just waited it out and they left. Praise the Lord. And so when you knock and you know somebody's home, right? Like you knock with an expectation, right? And I would even say this for people that you're really close with, you just walk in. You just walk in. Right? You don't wait at the door and you're like, no, these people love me. They know me. I'm going to walk in. I'm going to go. When I go to my Nancy's parents' house, like I don't knock on that door. That's my house. That's my mom and dad. That's my fridge. That's okay. Like they already know when Eric comes over, that's my washer and dryer. I'm going to use all the stuff and drink all the stuff. And that is right there. Okay. A son. That's me stepping into as a son. Not me being a brat and just being like, well, you owe this to me. I raised your grandchildren and I married your firstborn. Like, no, that's not it. It's, I'm a son. I'm your son. You guys call me son. I call you mom and dad. Therefore, you get the pleasure of having me walk in and eat your food and drink your stuff. And, you know, and so knock like you mean it. Let's read some Bible. Luke 11, verses 5 and 8, or 5 through 8, says this. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Your shameless audacity. This is what it looks like for us to pursue the Lord, to be a son and daughter, is that we come with an audacity. And without any, like, I do not apologize for why I'm coming to you, God. I, this is my authentic self as a son. I am coming to you because I know you love me with all of your heart. And I know that you take pleasure in me coming and asking for this blessing. When we lived in Reading, Nancy, for the last few years we lived there, she worked a crazy night shift for a group home. She would work 11 p.m. to, I mean, it was supposed to be till like 11 or to 9 a.m., but she never got off at that time. So she worked crazy hours. So needless to say, she was very tired during the day. And I remember one time, so she would sleep a lot of the day, and wouldn't get a lot of sleep. Like, it was actually very scary, the amount of sleep Nancy was not getting during this season. And so when she would fall deep to sleep, it was like she was in a coma. And so one day, I think this was on a weekend, it must have been on her day off, because I was there with the kids, and we had went out our back sliding door. Nancy's upstairs sleeping, and you know how sometimes people have like a bar or a piece of wood or something that they hold on to put there to keep it from opening just in case? Well, what had happened was when I closed that door, the bar or whatever we had there had fallen. So now we're locked outside, and then I have Nancy in a coma upstairs, and I feel like I didn't have my phone. Maybe I did, and I was trying to call you. I don't know, but we're banging on doors. We're trying, because at first I was like, no big deal. Like, we came outside to hang out anyways. But I think what had happened was we were outside. And so when it happened, I was like, no big deal. We're outside. We're going to play, whatever. And then I think Caden fell or something. And so now I'm like, now I need to go inside. Like, I have to go. And so I'm like banging on doors, ringing doorbells. I mean, we were out like for like 5-10 minutes. And finally I was like, I don't know what to do. So since the door wasn't locked completely, it was just being held, restricted by that piece of wood. I had just barely opened a sliver into the door. And I was just screaming into this crack, like, Nancy! Like, I was just like, wake up. She comes down the stairs, like, total. And I mean, this is a sight to see. Whenever Nancy wakes up from like a deep sleep, it's like, just, I don't know what better way to describe it, is a drunk person. She doesn't know where she is. She doesn't know who she is. She doesn't know who I am. She doesn't, like, I mean, it's just, it's so that's what she's like, what's happening? And I'm trying to explain to her, like, I need you to just to move this piece of wood. Then you can go back to bed, right? But God is always home. God is always home. So knock like he is and expect God to answer the door. Amen. I want to just, the caveat to all of this is that I understand this, that there are moments that we've all been in where we've pursued the Lord, or we've prayed for something, or we were seeking God for something, and maybe we didn't see breakthrough, or it didn't look the way we wanted it to. You know, years ago, over 10 years ago now, we had a and I've talked about it here before, but we had a nephew who was autistic, and he had cancer, and he ended up passing away. And very sad. But I will tell you, during that pursuing of God, I believed, we believed in this full healing. We believed that God was going to restore his life. We really believed that this 9-year-old boy was going to not pass away, and he did. But again, I refuse to build a crappy theology out of a crappy circumstance. And I'm sorry if that word offends you, but I don't know in any other way to put it, because it's crappy. It sucks. When you're praying for something like that, and you see, you know, this family go through this turmoil, and you yourself are going through turmoil, and you're believing with all of your heart, like me praying for that, us praying for that young little boy, wasn't out of a selfish place. It wasn't out of a place of do this for me, God. No, that was only out of do this for him, do this for his family, right? So I refuse to build a theology out of that situation. When it doesn't seem, this is a caveat, when it doesn't seem like prayers are answered, trust God in the process, because ultimately he knows best. Now, I'm not going to get into, you know, oh, God needed him in heaven. Like, I just, again, I just think God is too good for me to sit there and say, okay, I don't know. It's mysteries of the Lord. And when I get to heaven, I'll get to talk to him about it, and we'll get to sit down, and we'll get to discuss all the crappy situations that I didn't see come to pass, and he'll say, this is why. And I'll say, okay, this is why you're God and I'm not. Okay, but it's impossible, and this is what I'll end with, and then we'll pray. It's impossible for nothing to happen when we pray. This is the truth. This is the core value that I live by, that my family lives by, is that when we pray, it's impossible for nothing to happen. It may not look like how I want it to look like. It may not sound like. It may not feel like. And sometimes it downright doesn't happen. But I just refuse to believe that God does not hear me and that something somewhere isn't happening, because he's a big God. I believe too much in this big God to believe that he is too busy for me. He has too much on his plate. He, you know, is annoyed by me. Again, you are not annoying God. You're not. So I want to pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness, God. And God, I just pray right now that as we, as your children, ask and seek and knock, that we would come to you as children. We'd come to you as sons and daughters, knowing that you are an all-loving Father, that you are a Father that takes pleasure in us, and that when we come to you, God, when we come to you, God, in the, what may seem the most inconvenient moments, what may seem like the moments that we've asked a million times, God, that you're not annoyed, you're not bothered. You take pleasure in us communicating with you. I just pray today, God, that if there's any person in this room that is struggling to find their place as a son, that you would reveal to them right now, in this moment, right now, that you would begin to encounter them. You would begin to pour out your love over them. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you're with us wherever we go. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you lead us. Father, I thank you that you love us. You love us like the best father, better than any good dad we can experience on earth, God. You love us more than that. God, let that revelation that we are sons and daughters and can come to an all-loving Father seep deep into the spirits of every person that could hear my voice. Whether they're in the room, they listen to this later online or whatever, God, that you would begin to just pour out your love over your children. We thank you for the prayers that maybe don't get answered, the prayers that we feel like should have went a different way. We thank you that you know best, God. Ultimately, we thank you that you're faithful. So I pray blessings over our lives, over every home, over every marriage. God, I pray over this place, over this house. Thank you for what you're doing in this church and in our city. We just thank you for that. And all God's people said, amen. Well, I love you guys. We're going to put on some music. We're going to put on the pregame. And we're going to get pizza. And we're going to set up decorations. If you guys can stay, many hands make light work. We would love it if you guys stayed and helped. Do you have direction that you want to give people right now for what we need them to do? So we have stuff over here that we're, if I can get a few able-bodied people to go over there, we have stuff in the back corner by the stairwell there that we're and a Christmas tree to bring up. So we're going to go do that, and then we'll get it popping. Okay, go ahead, Zeke. Oh, yes.
Ooh, you're electrifying. Yeah, so I just wanted to share... thank you for your prayers. I'm pretty sure you sent it out on a prayer chain for my mom. My mom was diagnosed with uterine cancer about the 15th of November. And I didn't know, our family's never died. So we don't, our immediate family. So I don't know how that works and how fast, hospitals take care of situations like that. So, and then the day before Thanksgiving, she got surgery just like that. But, so she had surgery. She came back with nothing spread. Everything's good. Thank the Lord, right? Thank you for your prayers. I know Pastor Mike and I were kind of going back and forth because his mom was ill around the same time, and I was checking up on you, and he was checking up on my mom between each other. And that's Pastor Mike for you. You know how he loves everybody. Also, I just wanted to share with you that. Kind of to tie in with your message that, I always feel that I don't pray enough, right? I'm pretty sure we all kind of feel that way, but we do. we pray a lot. So the day my sister called me was a Monday, the 15th, I think. And so I'm driving alone to Salem, Oregon, because I was working up there for the week. And she told me about it. And the one thing I realized when she told me was, if you're from a large Mexican Hispanic family like I am, when crisis arises, the worst thing that can happen is you are alone, right? Because we always need to be, together in time of crisis. That's how it's always been. If I'm not around my family or my immediate family, but I wasn't. I think I was, when she called me, I was in the Dalles, so I still had a long ride to go. And so I thought to myself, well, that's all right. I pray by myself, I've done it before. My mom's a, a prayer warrior all her life. So I prayed for her. And I'll be honest with you, I was very, very worried. Time of crisis where we should be together, but I wasn't. So I prayed. And, I asked to the Father, to heal my mom, because my mom's always been so healthy. So I prayed. And, I was trying to figure out how I was going to call my wife and to tell her that my mom was sick, that this is it's kind of a big deal. So I called her about an hour in. I'm already past Portland, so I called her and said, hey, my mom's sick, she has cancer. I said, but don't tell the kids because I want to, we're Hispanic in time of crisis. We have to. I wanted us to be together when I told them, But just to give you a kind of a glimpse of how I felt on the drive, that by the time I got to Salem, I prayed. Like I said, I feel like I don't pray a lot, but I think I do, because I always start my prayer. It's like, hey, I know I don't ask for much, or I don't really pray a lot. But then I realized, like, dude, I start that prayer a lot. I said, hey, I know I don't ask for a lot, but my mom is sick right now. So, my family needs you to heal her. I mean, I know she's 71-ish, I think, my mom. And she's lived a great life. She has a large family. But none of us want to see her gone, She's my mom. And by the time I got to Salem, God had already told me, hey, she's going to be all right. She's going to be fine. And I think I called Tara the next day. I was like, hey, you know what? Nothing's going to happen. God just told me she's going to be okay. He gave me this peace that I was able to be gone for the week in work. And I drove home Thursday or Friday, I can't remember. And I got home, I told the kids. A few days passed. My sister says, hey, she's getting surgery. I think it was the 24th, right before Thanksgiving. She'll be home on Thanksgiving or the next day. So she did. But I told Tara, you know what, hon? I know I'm home, but now I'm starting to feel worried, right? But, you know, I'm from a large Hispanic family, so when crisis appears, you should be together, right? Well, I was with my wife, and she's like, don't worry. She says, God already told you she's going to be okay. But now the enemy's attacking you, thinking that she's not going to be okay, right? So, you know, I continuously pray through the day, through the week, and mom had surgery. She's doing great. She called me back. But just, you know, I guess as a note that if you pray, you know, if which we do, it might not always turn out the way you want it to, but, something will always happen, you know. So thank you, Jesus, amen, you know, that my mom's doing great. Thank God that he cured her and that there's no more cancer that spread it. So I just wanted to share that with you because I know you're my family. And like I said, I come from a large Hispanic family. In time of crisis, we're all together, you know. So I just, you know, want to thank you guys for all and just kind of keep you updated, you know. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. So good. So yes, so we're going to pull stuff. If you guys can give us a second before we put anything on the stage, because we got to clear all this stuff off. But nonetheless, thank you guys. If you need to go, we love you. If you could stay, great. We're going to get pizza. And we'll see you guys next Sunday.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.